I love these words. It's a reminder of the importance and the power of the Word of God. And as we turn to Holy Scripture today with the sermon God's put in my heart, let us first read these words. And I encourage you just to say these words out loud together. God's unchanging Word. For feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever, for all things shall pass away. His word shall stand forever. Praise God. His word will indeed stand forever. We praise God for the word. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. In just a moment, we'll read verses 41 through 51. We'll read those in just a few minutes. You can see the title of the sermon, Lost. 12-year-old son, please contact Mary and Joseph. Have you ever lost something and there was just no peace in your mind until you could find it? You just had to find it. I grew up in southeast Dallas in a little community called Urbandale. It was part of a larger community called Pleasant Grove. It was all part of Dallas. Well, every year the city of Dallas would give all the school kids a free pass to the Texas State Fair. Not only would they give you a free pass to the fair, you got a free bus ticket that you could ride the bus to and from wherever you were, wherever you lived, to the state fair and back. Well, starting in the fifth grade, my mother would let me go to the fair. I was 10 years old. I know that sounds young by today's standards. But my mother would let me and my buddies that would meet at the bus stop from the fifth grade class all gather up and catch the bus together and ride downtown right to the front gate of the State Fair of Texas and get off. And of course, we had a ticket to get us back home later that afternoon. Well, we'd take that bus and we'd spend every dime we had in our pocket on rides and games at the Midway and cotton candy and wander through all the other stuff that was free. My family was very, very poor, and the only way I had any money to spend at the fair was to save up for it, and save I did. I would begin saving in the summer, mowing lawns and collecting Coke bottles, pop bottles. You know, they were 2 cents, then they went up to 3 cents. I thought that was great. You just start collecting them because they were worth money. You could get money for them. I kept working and saving. One year, it was in 1963, I was 11 years old, I was in the sixth grade, and I had saved up the mighty sum of just over $4. Now, for a little fella just doing jobs and collecting pop bottles, that was a whole lot of money, and it was more than enough to have a great time at the fair. And I was so excited just thinking about all the cotton candy and jawbreakers and corn dogs and winning a big fuzzy dog on the Midway and just having a great time. Well, I put my money in one of those little squeeze coin packets that you squeeze and you put your money in there. I put all my money in there and stuck it down deep in my blue jeans pocket to make sure it was safe. Well, we got to the fair, and we'd already decided, all of us boys decided, the first ride we was going to ride, we thought was one of the best rides at the fair. It was called the Bullet. And he had two big long arms. At the end of each arms were two big spinning devices, and you get inside those devices and it spin round and round, and the arms would go round and round, then reverse and go the other way, and 1 minute you think you're getting crashed into the ground, then you're throwing up into the sky. And throwing up is what a lot of people did, of course, you understand, on that ride. And we just a great ride. We had a wonderful time, and it was over. You know, I get off and we're kind of dizzy and we're laughing and walking around, and so we walk down the Midway to the very next ride. And I, you know, rides weren't real expensive then. They were generally like 15 or 20 cents. So I reached in there to get my big coin purse full of all that money, and it wasn't there. And all of a sudden, I just got sick. I couldn't find it. And I thought, oh, no. And I was so sick. And I started crying, you know, at 11. You're not supposed to cry, but I couldn't help it. I was just miserable thinking about not having that money. So immediately I went back to the Bullet, thinking, oh, sure, somebody might have turned it in. sure they would. No, nobody had turned it in. And it just hit me. I went from being sad and upset and sick and crying to just being mad. mad that all that work and all that planning and all that anticipation, everything, it was over. I had no money at all, and I had the whole day ahead of me. And I was broke. Well, despite my despair, I was determined that somehow I was going to have a good time. So what I did, I planned it out. I went through every free thing that was there. Every free show they had, I was there. I went through the science building, the Texas History Building, the Natural History Building. I went to the auto show. And in desperation, I actually went to the women's building. Now you see, for us guys going to the women's building, that was for old ladies and sissies. But when you got time on your hands and you're looking for something to do, you just start wandering through. And what a treasure I found in the women's building. There was more free food in there than I could ever imagine. It was incredible. There was baking displays. There was cookie displays. There was everybody giving stuff away. Frito-Lay had a big deal set up. And every time you walked by there, they must have had four or five people out there handing out free bags of potato chips. When I got through, I had at least 10 bags of potato chips, okay? I made good use of my time and all that free food. I might have been broke, but I was getting all the stuff I needed, and I probably got sick eating potato chips that day. I did all I could to make up for what I had lost, because what I had lost just made me feel terrible. And speaking of loss, let's read the scripture text in Luke's gospel this morning about a couple that lost their son. That's Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 51. We'll have that for you on the PowerPoint as well. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy, Jesus, lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. That means he was obedient to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Have you ever wondered like me, have you ever just wondered why out of all the days and all the events in the life of this boy Jesus, that the only story recorded in the Bible of any event or day in his childhood is this event? This event of being left behind in Jerusalem. I can be certain that after Mary and Joseph got to heaven and they found that this event became part of Holy Scripture, don't you think they might have just went to the Lord and said, "Oh God, you know, of all the events in our son's life, why did you choose this one event that makes us look so bad as parents?" It does make them look bad, though, doesn't it? But see, God always has a purpose behind what's in the Word of God. And he had a purpose behind why this event was recorded and why we read it now today. So join me for just a minute this morning and let's look at three discoveries from this scripture. It takes us to the first point, discovery number one. They had lost Jesus. You see, each year in March or April, the Jews traveled to Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover feast. It's usually the feast itself in Jerusalem would usually last about 8 days. And so when they traveled, all the families and neighbors and friends, they would all travel together for safety and for fellowship. Jesus lived in Nazareth. Well, the town of Nazareth is about 63 miles north of Jerusalem by the most direct route. So assuming families walking with small children and with elderly grandparents, etc., walking this distance would take about 5 days. In the spring and in April and May, it's ideal weather. The average high temperatures in Israel are up in the mid-60s, and so the families would all travel together, and this wonderful pilgrimage would occur. Every road going into the holy city of Jerusalem was packed with pilgrims coming to the holy city to celebrate Passover. Be there for 8 days or so, and then travel back home on the same route to their own towns, where they were from. By the way, speaking of Passover, you may have seen in our bulletin that on Friday night, April the 8th, a great organization that we support, Jews for Jesus, will be here on Friday night, April the 8th, just 1 week before Easter, to do a beautiful service called a Passover Seder. And it'll show us the wonderful celebration and love of God that was expressed in the Passover event, the Passover Seder. So mark your calendars and come and be a part of that on Friday night, April the 8th. Well, back to our story, Mary and Joseph. Well, after the Passover celebration, they begin to return home with all the family and friends and neighbors going back to Nazareth. And the scripture tells us the boy, Jesus, lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. They must have assumed that he was in the big group they were traveling with. Perhaps they thought he was walking and playing with his cousins and friends. The Bible says they went a full day's journey, approximately 12, 13, 14 miles, and then finally realized that Jesus wasn't with them. You know, when you think about it, I'm sure they must have stopped for lunch during the day, but they didn't miss him then. They probably stopped for a little break in the afternoon, but they didn't miss him then. It wasn't until that evening, when a full day's journey was over, they realized that their son was lost. What a terrible feeling that must have been for them. They had not lost their love for him. They had not lost their faith, but they had lost him. Maybe, just maybe, we begin to understand why God placed this story and this account in the Bible. When we stop and realize that sometimes you and I, that we also lose Jesus on our journey of life. We have boundless faith, but we go long distances and sometimes many days or weeks or months without seeking His face or His presence. We don't mean to. It just sort of happens, and suddenly we look up and it's happened, and we realize that we haven't been reaching out into our faith to worship or to be with Christ. Today, we look at this story, and in our own minds as parents, we look at this and we say, how in the world could Mary and Joseph go all those miles and an entire day and not know that Jesus wasn't there? How could they do that? But perhaps the better question would be, how can we go day after day without realizing that we're not reaching up in faith and walking with Jesus? How can we go all those times when we realize that we haven't stopped to come into His presence at the time of prayer? That takes us to the second discovery this morning. It was their own fault. It was Mary and Joseph's fault. You remember when they finally had found Jesus, his mother asked him in verse 48, she said, "Son, why have you done this?" I'm sure she's pretty mad and upset. "Why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I sought you anxiously." She blamed Jesus, didn't she? I mean, by those very words, we know at that moment, she's blaming Jesus. "It's your fault. Why have you done this to us?" She didn't say, "Oh, son, I'm so sorry we forgot about you. Son, I'm so sorry that we left without you. Lord, I'm just so sorry we did that." They had lost him because perhaps they had been just too interested in all the other stuff going on in their life. That maybe the feast and the beauty of the temple and the services and the crowds and their fellowship and all those things had so caught their energy and their attention that they completely lost sight in their minds of where Jesus was at. When you think about it, the boy had been neglected and had been forgotten about. Now, there's really no sin in thinking of those stealing events and experiences. Those were all good things. But the first things in life should always occupy first place in our life. Amen? The most important thing in our life, knowing Christ and walking with Him and being in His presence, that should be first place in all of our lives, just as the son of Mary and Joseph should have been first in their life. The reality is that when something comes between the Savior in our soul, whatever that something is, it's wrong. It's wrong for us. In a sense, it's sin for us. Anything that comes between us and our Savior really is sin for us. Our heart and our soul should cry out each day with this cry that says, I cannot go one more step without my Savior being with me. I cannot go one more step without walking in faith and knowing that my heart and my mind are on my Savior. I see some folks over here seeing, is it a little bit too cool for some of y'all in here right now? Let me make a quick adjustment. It's real easy. No charge for this either. It's good. Now, the other folks over here are going to tell me it's too hot in just a minute, but that's okay. We'll be all right. Some of the greatest tragedies of life is because so many people find it possible to journey on and on. So many Christians find it possible to journey on and on throughout their days without pausing to realize and to focus on our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then when despair comes, as despair came to Mary and Joseph, I'm sure they were full of despair, just like them, we tend to blame Jesus. We'll say something like, well, Lord, where were you when this thing started happening to me? Or, Lord, why did you allow this to happen in my life, and etc. When the reality is that we left Him behind. We lost our priorities, and He just became less important in our life. Oh, may God help us by the Holy Spirit to not become so absorbed with all the distractions of life, whatever it may be our hobbies, our business, our sports, or whatever pursuits we have, anything that would cause us to forget Jesus and to journey day after day in this life without looking up to Him in faith. It is always an unwise action when we do that. It always leads to disappointment and regret and heartbreak when we leave Jesus out of our lives, when we leave Him out of our daily living, when we leave Him out of the decisions we make every day. And that takes us to the final discovery, discovery number 3. They found Him where they least expected Him to be. Verse 46 is in the Bible, the scripture we read. Now, so it was that after 3 days, can you imagine 3 days looking for Him? After 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Look at this image on this next PowerPoint. I like this image of Christ sitting in the temple there as a young 12-year-old boy. Jerusalem was a city of about 50,000 people in those days. It'd be about the size of Sherman, Texas. It's interesting when you look at this story that they only sought Him in the temple when they had already finished looking everywhere else. They looked everywhere for Him. They probably visited all the most likely places they might thought they'd find Him. Homes of friends, familiar streets, walking each day, every night, sick with worry. Where is our boy? We can't find Him anywhere. Just sick with worry. And finally, as a last resort, they come to the temple. And they find Jesus there, and He's doing just great, and He's speaking to the religious leaders of the nation. If they had just gone to the temple in the first place, they would have saved themselves all that trouble and all that time and all that worry and heartache and sickness thinking He was lost or dead. But, you know, for you and me, in our day and age, this is the truth. Folks often search for God in all the wrong places. He's not found in a set of religious rules. He's not found in just being good enough or kind to others. He's not found in just being a member of a church. He's not found in our own busyness and activities, no matter how great that busyness may be. But just as Joseph and Mary found that day in the temple, Jesus will always be found when we come close to the altar of God. He'll always be found when we come close to the altar of God. See, the altar is the place of submission. The altar is the place of surrender. The altar is the place of repentance. The altar is the place of earnestly seeking and fervently praying in our hearts. It may be in the church, at the altars in the church. It may be in a closet at home. It may be in your living room, knelt down at the sofa. It's anywhere where your heart is touched by the Holy Spirit and we draw close to Him in prayer. And when we do, we'll always find Him there, don't we? He's always there waiting, ready for us, with open arms wide, waiting for us to come to Him. On whatever journey we're on in this life, He is always there for us. Aren't you thankful for that today? You know, looking back at my story, my day at the State Fair of Texas in 1963, I can tell you, after the fair that day, for the next several days, every day I picked up the newspaper and I went to the lost and found section, because I just knew somebody must have found that blue coin purse. And I would look in the lost and found, and just thinking that I would look there and it would say something like this: found a blue plastic coin purse with $4. Please call this number to claim. And I could identify that coin purse because it says Sears and Roebuck on it, because my mom worked for Sears and everything we had Sears on anyway. I just knew if I looked long enough, it'd show up. And of course, it never did. But better still, how about this? Look at this next PowerPoint with me. How about this? Found the Savior and the Redeemer of the world, Jesus. Please call heaven for more information. Oh, that's the greatest thing we'll ever hear today. Oh, that He can be found. He's there for all that are seeking Him. He's there for all that are looking for Him. He is our Savior. He loves us. He loves each of you. And He's always ready to walk with us every day of our journey. Well, my prayer is that you're not one of those folks that say, well, I lost Jesus. He's always there. He never leaves us. It's us that do the leaving, isn't it? It's us that get so busy we drift away from Him. Oh, may the Holy Spirit just fill us with so much love and so much desire to draw close to Him, to walk with Him. May the Holy Spirit give us in our hearts every day when we start our day, oh, Jesus, walk with me, be with me, guide me, help me, lead me. I need you. I love you. That should be our heart every day. Amen. Amen. Would you please bow your heads with me? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for this incredible story of a very unique time, an event in your life as a young boy, for your mom and dad, and the lessons that we learned from it. Oh, Father, help us. Let us just hear the voice of the Holy Spirit drawing us to the Savior, encouraging us to let every part of our lives, every day of our lives, focusing on our Savior Jesus and His wonderful, wonderful faithfulness to us. Father, I'm reminded of the Word of God that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. The Word that says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Thank you for that faithfulness. God, let us grow. Let us mature in your love and in your word. And all these things we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.